Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit. All right. Here we are.
Dun, 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 dun.
6-0 something. Yeah, it started, and it started bad already. Celtics free agency. Welcome aboard, Sherrod Blakely, Josue Pavone, Bobby Manning. 6 o'clock, you can start talking to teams. And right out of the gate, first thing going, for anybody out there who believed, and you know, and if you did, I feel bad if we contributed to that at all. any of the hype we wanted to believe. We wanted to believe, but it's over already. Lonzo Ball, the thing, Lonzo Ball's the guy that could have made you feel all right about, yeah, of all the things talked about, the guy that could have made you feel all right about the direction the Celtics were going here. First domino to fall right out of the gate, and also will be done if it's not already done within minutes, but there go those dominoes. Lonzo signs with Chicago outright, 4 years, 85. And that's that. That's the first thing, which means you are, at this point, at the Celtics, again, rumored to be in a lot of different things. Maybe the sexiest name left is Dinwiddie. But this is not terribly surprising. And Bobby, as we tried to kind of figure it out, Bobby, I'd say, went through the greatest emotional roller coaster over this Ball thing, thinking they were really in on it, and then finally slowly coming to the realization that this isn't happening. So, Bobby, how did we get here?
Well, we'll see how we get here, because the Bulls don't have this cap space. Even if they clear everything out, they're only at $12 million. So they got some trades and stuff to clean out. Obviously, you can always make something work here. The Pelicans might take some stuff back from the Bulls, although what would it be, Satoransky, Young, that kind of stuff. I'm interested in how the Celtics could possibly get involved here in terms of maybe sending some smaller contracts to Chicago to try to help facilitate this, because there are some things in Chicago that would help the Celtics out a little bit. Joe Sway's always like Thad Young. I've always liked Satoransky coming here possibly. So we'll see how that Thompson deal could possibly expand. But yeah, I thought there was a decent case that the Pelicans would look at what the Bulls could possibly offer them here in a sign and trade and say, that stuff's not great, and not be willing to facilitate it with the Bulls. But at the end of the day, the players have a ton of power. And like you thought, and others thought, Ball maybe just didn't want to come to Boston.
Well, I don't think there's any reason why he would want to come to Boston. I mean, Lonzo Ball, I think, still has these visions of being an upper echelon, I'm the man type of guy. That's you've got Jason Tatum, you've got Jaylen Brown. At best, you're the number three. In Chicago, Zach LaVine is the number one, and beyond that, who really is that number two? Is it really Vooch?
No, he'll be he'll be a huge part of that team.
Yeah, and so for him, opportunity to be a more of a central piece to the team's success, the money, the location, the market, plenty of reasons why. I know John wanted to tap out of this one because he really is feeling
that was funny.
Some kind of way without Lonzo being around.
Hey, go ahead. That was funny, though.
But I'm not surprised that Lonzo went this route. Because, again, the one thing the Celtics, when they've been able to get really good players, the key to all of that has been money. They've had the they've had the financial muscle to get those done. And there's too many different things that have to fall into place for them to get the type of difference maker in this free agency period that they're looking for.
They're in trouble now. Yeah. There's not much left out there.
It was a dream, but it was one of those things where you saw it because you know that that's the kind of point guard that could really mesh well with Tatum and Brown. But, you know, to Sherrod's point, I mean, I don't think Lonzo Ball is going into a situation thinking he has to be the clear-cut number one, but he's looking to be that one number two. And if you look at Boston, they already have those guys. They have Tatum. They have Brown. So, you know, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, you know, for Celtics fans out there, I mean, even though that's the kind of point guard, you know, ideal point guard you want in this scenario with the Celtics, it was just going to be a long shot for the Celtics.
I thought it was such a great moment to pivot in that direction. It's everything John's been talking about for a long time. John's wanted him here forever just because of the vision, the playmaking, the anticipation, all the different things that he brings to the table that you need here. He wouldn't have been your four general, but you would have been comfortable with Richardson running the pick and roll, being the primary ball handler, Ball being an off-ball shooting guy who's gotten really good at that, and then being a secondary playmaker for this team. It would have been a really good setup, but when you have no cap space, when other destinations have more opportunity here, this is kind of what happens, I guess.
Yeah, you needed look, and just a couple details here, just how did it get done. Satoransky, Garrett Temple, second-round pick to New Orleans. So that clears out.
See, the biggest thing is that the Pelicans are dumb. Like, why do the Pelicans want that? What are the Pelicans doing?
Why do you say that?
Tell them how you feel, Bobby. Let them know how you feel.
Why do you say that as if the Celtics had this great offer that can top that? Like,
you'd rather have
it's not an offer. They just don't want to pay him. It's not a trade.
You don't have to take stuff back if you're the Pelicans. You can just be like, yeah, we're good with helping you figure out your cap space.
Yeah, that's true.
So
if I'm New Orleans, I would have asked.
I would have tried to get a third team involved.
Not just players. I'm assuming there's some picks involved. Right. Try to get a third team and get some picks out of this. Because, I mean, no disrespect to Satoransky, but he is not going to freaking move the needle in New Orleans. I mean, hell, the needle may not even recognize him, let alone be moved by him.
I don't know what they're doing. So, they signed Steven Adams to an extension and then dump him. They just let Ball go. They don't even really try to keep him here. I don't get it.
I don't – yeah, it's this – yeah, this – I'm with you, Bobby.
I don't care. I don't care about how dumb New Orleans is. It's not what the show is about, okay? The show is about
– No, my point was,
it's
John,
not. I don't give
Marcus
a shit.
Smart.
I don't.
The Pelicans could have leveraged Marcus Smart out of this.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
With that contract, though, I mean, is that a championship team, do you think, Bobby? I mean, I don't know.
It helps them a lot.
Smart would have been a better Smart fit to that team than Satoransky.
Yeah.
Fine, maybe.
I'm talking about the Celtics, though.
You're talking about if the Celtics had Ball, had Lonzo?
Lonzo, yeah. If they make that.
Oh, hell yeah, they're a better team.
No, championship team.
I don't know if you're a championship team, but you have some direction. That's what I wrote about today. Like, you need to like go down some sort
that
of.
That article lasted about 7 minutes, Bobby. Good work, though.
It did. We can look back on it.
You can't drop a free agent article at 5:53 and expect that thing's going to last.
We can look back on it and wonder what could have been.
The 7 minutes, rest in peace. The 7 minutes that it lived, it was amazingly awesome, Bobby.
He's going to dust that thing off in a few years. It's going to be fun.
Let's get real, though. Let's get real. We knew the Celtics were in a tough spot.
Right.
We knew that Lonzo, it became clear at first, you know, like the Richardson deal signified a lot of things, which was they missed out on Fournier. I guess that hasn't dropped yet, but they knew they weren't going to get there. And that was kind of it, right? This is what we're going to be able to do here. So we're going to just have to do it. And this is going to be our little bit of a Band-Aid. Anything beyond that, I think, you know, over the weekend, and again, we went back and forth here, we're starting to hear names like Jeff Green and Kelly Olynyk and
bring the band back. Damn.
Yeah. And Rudy Gay and that, you know,
well,
it's
let's
whatever.
Let's just dust Chris Humphreys off while we're at it. Let's just get Chris Humphreys back in the mix as well. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love
so,
him.
So, I mean, so then
you get, reunion, right?
you're really getting a sense what this is you know, right now the plan is preserve space and bring in professional basketball players who are not Semi Ojeleye and Grant Williams. I'm not saying those guys won't play, but look, this is where they suffered the most last year. We talked about the talent drop off from the best players to the replacement level guys. Too big a drop off. So yes, while Jeff Green's not moving any needles or anything like that, or Kelly Olynyk's not getting you another championship, they are professional basketball players, and that's really all this team can do is find some veterans who actually play basketball for a living, have done so for a while, and might continue to do so for a while, instead of these G League kind of, you know, guys that we were trotting out there who, again, if a Semi Ojeleye free agent signing breaks during this show, what I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's not going to happen.
Come on, Josh, you're going to disappear.
I'll put myself in a penalty box for at least 5 minutes, and then everybody can hurl their best insult at me. Or you can do it anyway. I don't give a crap.
Give them 2 weeks at least. The first day, come on.
Yeah, Daniel Tice, though, 3 years, Houston.
You know that phone's not working on the...
Yeah.
Nice. That's good for him.
It's a different story.
Do you get my prediction total?
You're 15 to 18. I would be surprised. But again, Daniel Tice to me seems like a guy who'd be in the 8 to 10 million. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know. That would be my guess. You know, I think he's kind of in that mid-level veteran salary.
They have a TP,
sort of.
I think, that they're bringing him in on. So, yeah, probably about 8 million.
That's what I thought. You know, I'm not going to sit here and be negative about it all. This is just reality. You've been staring this in the face if you're a Celtics fan here. So, I mean, Sherrod, let's talk about it. Okay. The pipe dreams are gone. And you know, another potential pipe dream is Dinwiddie. That's not happening, you know, for the money that he's looking for. Again, you know, we know how this game is played, right? We've done this before. You float some names out there. You say you were close. You say you kicked the tires on some big names. It just didn't work out. The reality is, I think they have a pretty good idea where they're going, and that's going to be fairly conservative.
Kelly so Olynyk's off the board, apparently. Now.
He's gone?
Oh, damn it.
Where'd he go?
Oh, the suspense.
Detroit Basket.
Okay, so which of these guys? Now, Olynyk is gone. Who of all the names mentioned? Don't say Isaiah Thomas yet. Okay.
Damn it, John.
We'll get there.
Damn it.
We'll get to Sullinger after him.
Hey, don't pick on my guy Sully. That's my guy.
Those are two of Sherrod's guys right there. I tease
those
my
are
guy
my guys.
Too.
There's a reason why they're available. That's all I'm saying.
Who do you like here? Who do you want to see?
I mean, see this
Patty
is the,
Mills
this is
being
problem.
A name, you know, we've seen a few, right?
Patty is the one guy that I would like to see because, as you pointed out, John, he's a professional basketball player. He has a skill set that this team could absolutely 100% benefit from. But I don't know how affordable he is. I don't know if there's going to be a market for him because he's really one of those guys, I think it's feast or famine. Either he's going to draw unexpectedly more attention than you would warrant, or he will get none. I don't think there's an in-between with Patty Mills. I think he's feast or famine as far as the competition for him. But that's a guy that I would love if the Celtics were able to get him. Because again, you want a guy who can come in and actually play. You want a guy who can actually do something that can help your team. Patty Mills can make shots. Doesn't do it all the time, but when he gets it rolling, he is incredible. But again, that's kind of like the top shelf. I don't see them being able to finagle anyone with a significantly higher profile
than
Patty Mills. I just don't think they can afford Reggie Jackson. Yeah, I mean, if Reggie Jackson would have played the way he did the previous year, then yes, absolutely. Bring him to town because you can get him on the cheap. But the way he was balling out this past year in the playoffs, nah. I would be surprised if Reggie.
Yeah, this is like.
I just don't think you can afford him.
This is house hunting right now, okay? You're like, oh, I think we're finally going to do it. We're going to commit. We're going to go get someplace. And you go and you look at it, and there's 40 offers, and you're not even friggin' close. Like, this is where you start to see what shit costs. You know, this.
And
this,
your pre-approval rate, John, is not very
It's not
high.
Very good.
Right.
You don't have
So, again, this notion that, like, for – and this is what bothers me. And I know this is mainly semantics, but this notion that, like, ooh, Fournier, the Knicks just too rich for their blood. Like, if you went in – to free agency thinking you had a shot at getting Fournier for 2 and 25, then honestly, you need a different job. Like, if you truly believed that's what was going to happen, then you have no idea. You have no sense of the market. So obviously that's not the case. They definitely knew nothing that they were going to be able to offer Fournier would possibly, come to fruition, which means they were never in on Fournier, which means they're not really in on Dinwiddie, which means they're not in on anything because you're hoping what? There's a confluence of events here where every single thing goes wrong. Every team signs one guy and there's one guy left there who's like, shit, I got to take some, you know, I got to take less than my market. Maybe that could come through. But on it, you see all these guys going early. The guys who are in demand are getting paid. And so they were never really, they just didn't have the ability or the flexibility to be in on these guys.
You know,
Fournier is the only one and you had to pay, you had to go into the tax and you had to eat it and you had to, on top of that, recognize that, like, you're going to be tied to this guy for a little bit because he's going to get 3 or 4 years, no question about it.
Yeah, the Celtics are going to – they'd have to catch lightning in a bottle with free agency. Right. And it would have to be someone that just – when you hear that they're coming to Boston, you're like, oh, wow, that makes a sense. He could really help them. I think of a guy like Shane Larkin, for example. Shane Larkin, who has done – he's kicked ass overseas, and he was here in Boston, so he does have a connection with Brad and the Celtics. Now, would he come back to this team the way they're constructed now? I don't know. But – that would be the type of player that would be kind of an outside-the-box free agent addition that would at least, I think, get some semblance of excitement because he's been kicking ass over in Europe. He's been really, really good. So those are the type of guys that if you're the Boston Celtics, that's how you're going to hit a home run in free agency. That's how you're going to strike gold, getting those type of guys. Because as you pointed out, John, they're not going to get – they had no real shot at getting, you know, the Lonzo Balls of the world. It's great to talk about it, and it's great to come – to think about the possibility, but at the end of the day, they just it's look, they're going to try and get a house for $100,000, which they've been pre-approved for. Right. These houses are going for $250,000. These houses are $300,000. These are $350,000. You're not going to get that kind of hookup.
You're not really in the market, so to speak. So I mean,
this is not your neighborhood. This is not your neighborhood.
How do you feel about Rudy Gay? Is there any miles left on that car, on that whip?
I hate these guys that are 3 and 4 years past the point that they'd have any sort of relevance or importance. And Rudy Gay's about that.
Yeah, he's about this point. We're talking about a guy to come off the bench. We're not talking about these. We're talking about the Celtics signing an everyday starter.
He's more of a name than a player.
He's a name. Exactly. He's more than a name than a player.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the problem.
Outside of Patty Mills, that's the only one I'm like, maybe you get a good season. He's averaging 11, 12 points for you. But I just wish he could shoot above 40% from three. You know, he's a little below. So.
Can we
let me quickly run through?
There, we might as well keep
Bobby. Let me catch up a couple people here. Just a few things. We're catching people up.
News, bro.
No. There's a bunch that's happened. We're just going to catch people up here. TJ McConnell, guy that was mentioned as a sort of type of player that the Celtics might be interested in bringing in because, you know, they need a point guard. He's off the board going back to Indiana. Olynyk, 3 years, 37. To Detroit, the Celtics were maybe hoping to fit him into that MLE at about 9.5. Obviously, he got more than that. So then again, this is what shit costs. You know, I think they're hoping to get Olynyk in for 1 and 9.5, and he's like, I got 3 and 37. Thanks, I'll see you later. So he's gone. Jared Allen, obviously not somebody to the Celtics, but he got paid 1 year after being dealt here, 5 and 100 for Allen.
Damn.
Daniel Tice, multi-year deal. I'm hearing three, just what we're seeing right here is three years with the Rockets. So that's something for them. Mike Conley.
Don't let them sell you short. There you go.
Mike Conley, 3 and 68. That's another one that kind of dropped here. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. sticks around. He was a guy they talked about possibly having to move out of Dallas. He's there. He's hanging around. So there's just some of the ones to drop right out of the gate. In addition to Lonzo, which was the first kind of big news here. And again, 6 o'clock. So, you pick up the phone at 6, you make your offers, people accept just like that. They're official. That's how it works, right?
That's
how they do
not
it.
Really. those offers that are becoming like accepted today, the bastards were made a while back. I mean, the whole free agency period is such a joke. Because most of the deals that you hear about within the first hour were made way before that. It's just a matter of, and this is what agents I think are really smart. You don't get too excited about that because someone may come in with a better offer. Which happens a lot, you know, it happens a lot. So I'm happy guys are getting paid. I just wish the Celtics were in position to pay some of these guys.
I would like to get paid.
So would I.
Yeah.
Not Josue. Josue's good, though. He's good.
He's got that.
Brockton Wi-Fi at his finest.
What do you mean? I'm good today. Don't jinx it. Come on.
Don't jinx it. So I'm looking in here. You guys see anything else happening right now?
I'm just trying to map out this Fournier thing because obviously he's still out there for now. The Knicks did bring back.
Why didn't it happen yet? It's interesting.
I don't know. So we heard that 480 thing. I never believed that.
I saw 3 and 54 recently. The most recent I saw was 3 and 54, which is 18 per. The guy made 17. He's not taking a pay cut. So again, any notion that Celtics were getting him for less than he made the year before.
But it comes down to the Knicks. Do the Knicks sign him for something like that? Is that smart for them?
Or it could be.
I don't care.
Right.
He could just eventually run out of options, and maybe the Celtics say, we'll give you 20-something for 1 year.
That's the best case scenario. That's for the best. So, just run off the shot clock.
And that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about.
If you're the Knicks, would you rather have Derrick Rose or Fournier? I don't know.
But no, Sherrod, what you were saying, what we were joking around before, that's the lightning in a bottle. Like, all the chips fall, and everyone's like, you know, I was going to give Evan all this money, but I didn't. And all the rest of the money got spent. You know, that's the one thing about free agency. It goes fast and furious, you know. And
yeah, Mavericks are out. Pelicans are out. Hornets are close.
And Bobby, you just mentioned a name, Derrick Rose. I mean, if let's say the Knicks swoop in and gobble up Fournier, the Celtics, are they in play for Derrick Rose?
Right.
Would you want Derrick
Rose? Good point.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, considering how limited they are financially, if I can get Derrick Rose in camp on my squad, oh, hell, that's a W. Because Derrick Rose is going to outperform the contract, whatever contract he gets with the Celtics. That if the Celtics were interested and he was available, there's no doubt. And he'd be significantly less money than Fournier, obviously. That's another, again, that's what it's almost like it's like musical chairs. And the Celtics are hoping at the end of the day, they can make it happen because who's left. And that's, you hate to have it come down to that, but the way things are playing out in terms of the Celtics and their money and the money that others have, I think that's the best path for them to get something of great value.
So two guys,
Nerlens Noel here. Nerlens Noel staying with New York 3 years.
Staying with New York.
That's what I said. So that cuts about $10 million. Oh, you said that? All right, they can offer. Yeah.
You got Dinwiddie and Fournier yet to. Those chips have yet to fall. The other interesting thing. Was the recent news involving Collins, which was they're not agreeing. They have not agreed. They're almost daring him to go get an offer sheet, you know, to get somebody to.
Right. That's another one. Who's got cap space out there to make them pay that much? That's a good
strategy. And so who's got the cap space? They're basically at this point saying, we're not going to just extend you. We'll match an offer sheet if one comes, and if not, then they kind of got them by the short ones. That could get ugly quick. That's the way to guarantee that you lose a player when you do this shit.
He
with
might
him.
Just sign that qualifying offer and say, "All
I'm
right,
telling you
exactly,
summer. Exactly, right. exactly." Right. And if I'm him, I absolutely would go that route if they're giving me shit about getting a long-term deal. We just got to the freaking conference finals. We're the Atlanta Hawks. This ain't the Boston Celtics. This isn't Milwaukee Bucks. This isn't teams that make deep playoff runs a regular occurrence. We're the freaking Atlanta Hawks, and I balled out, and y'all want to trip about my money? And I'm only 23 years old. It's not like I'm over the hill. It's not like I don't have a skill set that doesn't benefit you and translate to the direction that the NBA is going now, and you want to trip about my money?
Yeah, but you know what? John Collins is the type of player that his name is soon going to be John Collins contract, you know? Because, like, whoever signs him.
I like him.
He's never going to be a max. He's never going to be a max guy. And it's always.
Yeah, we've seen it before. I see what John's saying.
He's never going to live up to the max contract, but you have no choice but to pay him because you don't have anybody else you can give that money to. And if you lose him for nothing, you're way freaking worse. So ultimately,
conference finals.
Someone's going to pay this guy a big, big, big money. And then it's going to be like, we've got John Collins' contract we got to worry about. You know,
I know they're different positions, but I look at him the same way I kind of look at a guy like Tobias Harris. Good player.
Good,
really
not great.
Good player, yeah. But not great. And yet I'm paying him great player money.
Yeah.
Because of the situation that he presents, because of his talent is good and the market for him is what it is. I think John Collins' market is not max, but near max money. And he's going to get that money from someone.
He is, and again, he's
and it
really
may not be this year, but it may be him signing a qualifying offer and getting that money next year. But at some point, he is going to get that money.
And on Atlanta, he was there too. Realistically, he's a three, you know, and you might even say like a fringy one at that, you know. He's a third piece on a really good team. He's not your Robin to a Batman sort of guy. And that's what he's going
to
want to get. He's going
to
get Jaylen Brown's contract. Yeah. Is this a guy in Jaylen Brown's class of player? Definitely not, you know, like, I don't think so. Right. And that's the money he's going to get. And he's going to be that guy that you're, you know, it's like, okay, it's the Trey and Collins show. And I don't know if they want that, but there's no, they don't have much of an alternative. So he's another one to keep an eye on. I don't know. You know, I don't think the Celtics could do it, but the Celtics were definitely mentioned as a team that would be super interested in this.
I think you run into
a
serious hard cap issue there.
I'm fine with serious hard caps here. They don't frighten me.
Unless you send back like a lot of, could you send them Horford? I don't know. Why did they take Horford and Smart?
Why?
I'm thinking the same thing. Why would they do that?
Yeah. There's not. It's kids and picks is always what's going to get things done. And that's, you know, and whatever salary necessary to make it work that's expiring, you know, it's, but you're Atlanta, you go from conference finals to a massive step to a pseudo rebuild. It's not a good look, you know?
No, then that's a good core if you sign it together. I thought they were going to be fast and furious. Get this done, numbers high, but whatever, you're not getting anything else anyway. And then bring back Lou Williams, find a mid-level point guard backup, and you're ready to go. Extend Young, and that's your team. But
hey, let me ask you this question, Bobby. Now, in Detroit, they're making some moves, and one of the moves is waving Corey Joseph. Would that be a guy that you'd be cool with bringing in as your backup point guard, Corey Joseph? For you're talking about probably like vet minimum money.
Absolutely.
He's good. I like Mills more.
That's a Brad prototype if you ever mention one, for sure.
Yeah, he's solid.
I like Corey as a person a lot. I think his game is average.
Yeah, he's the most average point guard you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, to me, when I think of like NBA players who are, he's one of those guys. And that's no disrespect to him. I think he's definitely proven himself to be an NBA caliber player, but I don't necessarily feel he's going to get me excited. I don't think he's necessarily going to be a horrible player. He's just, it's Corey Joseph. He's on my team. He's in my rotation.
Yeah, so it's a guy like him. It's a guy like Mills. And that's what you're basically working with in terms of point guard depth at this point, unless you're looking in a trade situation right now. I am so confused. Obviously, there was nothing lined up immediately for the Celtics. They're just kind of waiting and seeing right now, it looks like. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this Marcus Smart thing came out earlier if you weren't immediately sending him out the door in some sort of setup now. Like, I don't know where it came from, obviously. It's such a dangerous gamble, I think, to be playing with that situation. We talked about how it's important to placate him. Now, all of a sudden, you have a report out there that he's effectively gone, right, John? Like, that's kind of what that report was.
Well, yeah, so let's summarize it. Let's summarize it for the people at home who didn't see it. But this is from Chris Mannix, who Sherrod knows. They work together at NBC. He's a sourced guy, you know. He knows some people. Sherrod's already making that I don't believe this story face, so I want to hear your take on it. And that's fine.
I don't believe you. You need more people.
Well,
that's fine. But let me just catch people up. The story was essentially that, that Smart's a challenging guy for Brad, and that he's frustrated with his inconsistencies, and he's basically looking to move on from him, and that it's very likely, as they were putting it out there, that he would be gone. And let me just say here. Boston's acquisition, here's the exact report. Acquisition of Josh Richardson could spell the end of Marcus Smart's run in Boston. He's become a fan favorite, but Stevens has been frustrated by his unpredictable play. Per sources, Smart, one of the NBA's better perimeter defenders, entering the final year, could extend, yada, yada, with Stevens thinking, telling SI it's more likely So the sources tell SI more likely Stevens will look to trade Smart before the start of the season. Boston shopped him last season, seeking multiple first-round picks, which, again, whatever. And an NBA executive tells SI Smart's value now, probably a first and a rotational player, according to a high-ranking Eastern Conference executive.
John said that like 4 months ago for the record. But go ahead.
Might be able to swap him for I didn't even think they'd get a first, honestly. Might be able to swap him for
– He said either or, actually.
Yeah, for a similar player that fits position, but Danny valued him like he was an all-star. He is not. Okay, so Sherrod, give us your take on this story. One – how much truth do you think? And I know you don't want to stomp on another guy's report, but give us some context here. Where is this coming from?
Well, I can't tell you where it's coming from. I don't know who Chris's source is, but my understanding with Marcus is that, yes, and it's no secret that they have looked into trading him before today. That's you know, that's pretty common knowledge. My understanding is that if they're going to move him, they're probably going to ask for at least a first round pick and a player, but they're probably going to have to settle for a second rounder and maybe multiple second rounders and a lower echelon player. In other words, my understanding is that any deal that involved Marcus Smart, more likely than not, the Celtics would get the shorter end in terms of talent. They're not going to get a better player than Marcus Smart. And they're basically, in effect, will be giving picks away, getting like a couple of second round picks in return for Marcus. Which,
see, that's where it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah.
It would be a pick.
And that's why
first rounder was in play for Marcus.
This
but anyway,
is what it I doesn't even matter if a first rounder is in play. I don't think Marcus is going to be moved because the Celtics are not going to get anything of comparable value. It doesn't have to be apples to apples, but you can't expect me to give you an apple and you give me a damn raisin and think I'm going to be cool with that. And I think for Marcus Smart, I think his value for the Celtics is high enough to where they feel like they have earned the right and Marcus earned the right to be traded for something of value. Marcus is an apple. Don't give me a damn grape in return or a raisin. Not going to work.
I want to cite this too. Yeah, I want to cite this too because we talked about this on our chat before we went on the air. It is interesting. You know, Gogeta here is a regular on the show. You know, and thank you for tuning in. But the report a few weeks ago, which obviously came from Kemba, and that sounded more like sour grapes. But that report a few weeks ago was that Smart was a little teacher's pet, and he could do no wrong. And Brad would not scold him for all of the things that he did. And Marcus got to do everything, and he would, you know, he'd jump on the bed with his dirty shoes, and he'd get away with it. And he would go into the cookie jar and he'd eat all the cookies.
My chocolate cake and wouldn't share.
He wouldn't share. You know, he would take all the toys and hide them in his room, and Brad would never say anything. And now, you know, here we go.
He's a problem child. And that doesn't mean that the person isn't that close to the situation or not, but it could just be someone's opinion who, you know, that could be the source. But,
exactly. Yeah. That's what it always comes down to is it's perception, Josue. Somebody perceives that this is the way, right?
Yeah, I feel like you put Marcus back out there, starting point guard. Everyone knows, you know, it's not a situation where he's playing, you know, he's covering for Kemba Walker. And that's how you see where his stock lays, you know, whether it's halfway through the season or right before the trade deadline. But this is going to be interesting, guys, because this does happen. Marcus Smart does stick around, and, you know, all this trade talk is just happened to be a report. What's Brad going to do come the trade deadline? Because you look back at the last few years, Danny Ainge hasn't pulled the trigger on that kind of deal, right? We've seen people walk away during free agency. Would Brad do it midseason? I mean, it's too early to say.
It'd be hard now that he's expiring contract.
I'd be surprised if he trade Smart.
This isn't quite breaking news, but again, I know, and again, these are reports, so we're gonna grab whatever we can grab here. But Adam Himmelsbach just kind of threw out a ton of from the Boston Globe, a bunch of little nuggets trying to keep up here with all of the Celtics stuff. This is about as depressing a tweet as it gets. Just simply summing up where the Celtics are here, because this is what a lot of people are here, you know, and want to know, what are we doing here? Okay, so some C's intel I'm hearing, according to Himmelsbach. Fournier return still quite unlikely. Check, we knew that. Marcus Smart isn't going anywhere, okay? C's could be priced out on Jeff Green. Holy shit, is that depressing? Like, they can't even afford the guy we barely
know. We're not talking about, like, Jeff Green, Oklahoma City. Jeff Green, first run with the Celtics. We're talking about Jeff Green, 2021.
My God, is that depressing.
Otto Avery, hit up IT.
Otto Porter, Patty Mills.
Bring the band back.
There's more.
That's so great.
There's more. Hold on. Let me get through it all. Otto Porter, Patty Mills, possible. C's remain focused on maintaining flexibility. We know that. And the last one, and this one's going to hurt. IT not in the cards. Oh. I know. Sad face. Sad face emoji.
Jeez. Well, you know what that means.
Thanks, Adam.
Patty Mills, you know what that means also. Ime's been calling him nonstop. Like, come on, man. Let's do this.
That's the one, right? That's all you got.
That's what you – listen, if at the end of the day, all I got in my hand is Patty Mills, considering how much I had to work with, I'm okay with that. Because Patty Mills, if you're being honest, if we're going to go with the whole real estate analogy, your pre-approval rate, you're getting – significant bang for your buck if you can bring in Patty Mills. Because the amount of money and the amount of capital that the Celtics have, Patty Mills, I think, could get more money elsewhere. I really do.
Yeah.
If you can get him.
I think all of them are getting more money elsewhere. That's the thing.
There's a lot of full mid-levels around the league. Not too many teams are in the tax.
Right.
And the Celtics do have it at their disposal. So why not? Like, at this point, if you let Fournier go, if you're not bringing in any sort of pricey commodity, use that full mid-level. Why not? Who cares if you hard cap yourself? It'll be a good excuse for Wick not to add.
Because what makes most sense, and this is, again, this is, what did we say, Bobby? We're going to know pretty quick, right? Okay. Now, what makes sense is not just who's available, but who's available and can you get on a one-year deal? And both of those things matter. And I honestly think that that's a huge thing here. Why are they not leaping in here? Everything here is a multi-year deal, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why I said it doesn't matter the amount to Fournier. It matters that they're not spending any money long-term on a new contract here because they want that flexibility. And there's a report here in the NBA that next year's cap is going up. As is the tax threshold, which is good for Boston, okay? It's going up significantly from 112 to 117 and 136 to 145, I think, which makes a big difference for the Celtics heading into that offseason. I think that's exactly it. They're looking for guys they can bring in on one-year deals and then see what happens next offseason. And I think that's becoming evident as time goes on. It'd be stunning, I think, for them to bring in somebody here long term for any significant money. So yeah. I don't know. That's I think where we are. Whether people want to, the most depressing thing about this, we spent half the regular season talking about the offseason with the full understanding they're not going to be able to do much. You know, they're not.
They can maybe do a little.
Yeah,
I mean, there was some level of expectation. Oh, here we're on Isaiah now, right?
I just threw it up there, but this is where you are. Yeah, Isaiah, sure, he'll come and play for a jar.
Why
of pickles,
isn't Isaiah
you know?
In the cards? I don't get that one. Like, not that it matters. I don't know.
Well,
like,
I think
this roster.
Go ahead.
This roster, as it stands now, would not make the playoffs.
Look what you've done to Bobby, guys! Look what you've done!
Wow. Did he wait? Oh, was that Bobby?
We're talking Richardson, Dunn, Smart in the backcourt, no wing depth, and Bruno
what have you done to poor Bobby?
There's a lot of good
Bobby.
Teams in the
What about the great all star tandem?
It's going to be so hard for them to operate on this team. The amount of spacing that they have, it'd be a good defensive team. They get some good defensive versatility there, but I don't know where all the points are coming from.
They're going to have to be a grinded out team. I mean, if this is a team that they're going to have to be like old, like throwback to teams winning games like 90 to 86. And if they're really lighting it up on a given night, they might score like 102. That's how they're built right now. That is how they're built. That's how they're going to have to. It ain't pretty.
Yeah, and there's a lot to like on the defensive end of the floor. It's going to be a little refreshing to see some defense this year after last year. But the way they're going to be
grinding. Yeah, but then you're
going to
wake up, Bobby, and realize, oh, crap, the trade-off is they can't score.
Yes.
they could easily be one of those teams, top five defense, bottom five offense. So is that going to get it done?
The pressure on Tatum.
Yeah, I mean Tatum's gonna. I mean, and literally Tatum is gonna have to average damn near 30 points.
As long as he gets his stats, we're good.
He'll need his stats. They're gonna need him.
You don't have any choice. Tatum. You know, if ever it becomes a question of is he chucking too many shots, you know, he won't say it, but we'll certainly say it for him. Look who's around him. Of course, he's got to take 30 shots a game. Who? What? You want Josh Richardson jacking 15, 20 shots a night? You want to see Marcus doing that 15, 20 times a night? Do you want to see Al Horford play more than 30 minutes a game? Is Rob Williams, is he ready to take more than like five shots, four of which are dunks? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not there yet. We'll see what they do. But again, there's not a ton they can do. And we knew that coming in, as John said, like the flexibility wasn't immense. But you did think there would be some lower level guys that if they're not in the cards.
Well, that's what they are.
They can't get Patty Mills.
I will say this, Bobby. I do think they will make the playoffs. I do think they will do enough to make the playoffs. They will not be a very high seed. I just think that they are going to, because if they play defensively close to the level I think they will with their guys, that's going to get them to the playoffs. They just won't do much once they get there.
Okay, very quickly, I want to throw out one more tweet here. Mark Murphy, Boston Herald league source, Marcus Smart is likely staying now that Lonzo has signed with Chicago. So again, Mark, hold on. Mark intimating that that Lonzo to Chicago, that Lonzo was real, at least in this tweet. But again, this goes back to what we were talking about. The rest of his tweet says, let me pull it up here. Any signings will be on the margins. And again, this is where they are. The on the margins is in quote from whatever source he got. So this is where we are, folks. It is, you know, you're getting priced out of Jeff freaking Green and Patty Mills and these guys and Kelly Olynyk. Say goodnight. You know, like it's.
Right. It also tells you a little bit about Marcus Smart's value outside of Boston. Because you're not getting a player and a first-round pick. You're probably not going to get a player and a couple of second-round picks. So if you're not going to get anything of remote value, then if you're the Celtics, it doesn't make sense to do that deal. Because teams, again, you don't necessarily have to get apples to apples. But damn, like I said earlier, don't give me a raisin and expect me to give you an apple. I mean, that's just not going to work. And I think that's where the Celtics are at with Marcus Smart. He has more value. We talked about this before. His value to this organization is much greater than it is in the eyes of other teams throughout the league. And I think this period of time we're in now, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, but when we were talking about trading him, though, which teams do you think are the ones that are going to be, you know, really excited about adding someone like Marcus Smart? It's going to be the contenders, right? The teams that think they're one Marcus Smart away from being a champion, you know? What kind of draft capital can you get in that kind of trade, or what kind of players are you getting in return?
Like, I would look at a team like Denver, for example, who could use a Marcus Smart there. When you look at the teams out west that have multiple elite wing scores, you look at the Clippers and you know, where you got Kawhi and you got Paul George. Adding a Marcus Smart in the mix would certainly help a team like that. But again, what are they willing to give up? Because they're not going to give up Porter Jr. That's for damn sure. I love Will Barton. I think he's a baller. But again, Marcus Smart just isn't viewed throughout the league the way he is in Boston. And that's not a knock or no shade at Marcus. It's just the fact that he has a track record of success with this organization. And there are a lot of teams that aren't necessarily thinking that's going to translate to their organization. And so,
yeah, I'm pivoting back to Fournier here. Yeah. As things develop here, I'm pivoting back to, and again, Bobby, I know you just sent that tweet. It is interesting watching this money go off the board here.
Just signed a guy.
No, when you said the Fournier thing, I thought you meant you're starting to buy into the Fournier thing, but you're not even excited about that.
No, when we've been going back and forth about what we wanted to do, I settled on build a team for now and don't worry about next year because you have no idea what's going to happen next year. I wanted them to work out Fournier. If that meant getting rid of Smart, so be it.
About this team with Fournier.
So you'd feel better because it's another professional player. And again, I'm not trying to pick on this team because this is tough. You know, this is what it is. But I tweeted this over the weekend, like, it's simply a matter of talent depletion here. What it comes down to, you keep replacing guys with worse guys, and you've gone from Hayward to Fournier to Josh Richardson over the span of, you know, 2 years. The amount of talent that's left the team, and again, it's Hayward, Rozier, Marcus Morris, Enes Kanter. You know, you gave away Desmond Bane or the rights to him for nothing. Daniel Tice, Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker, Mo Brown just now, the 16th pick in this year's draft. You know,
Aaron Baines,
Tristan Thompson, you know, again, who you're just giving away at this point, not for anything of assets, not that he's valuable, but these are still professional basketball players. You're giving, Jeff Teague's got a chip. And what comes back, you know,
here's the thing,
Al Horford, Chris Dunn, Jason Richardson, Bruno Fernando. That's what you're replacing. Josh Richardson. That's what you're replacing these guys with. That is again, think of what you thought of the previous guys, and we're not even talking in the Hayward Rozier class of player. The other guys are professional basketball players, and you replace them with nothing. I mean, far worse at talent. Tatum and Brown are on an island right now. This is the dangerous thing here.
But all those guys, what do they have in common? Well, besides Al Horford, what do they all mostly have in common? You know, the expiring deal. It's all about saving
all of it.
As much money as you can. and seeing what you have from these young guys. I mean, you talked about it a few months ago, John. You know, what do we have in Neesmith? What do we have in Romeo? And I think, Bobby, you even mentioned –
we're about to find out.
I know, right? But Bobby even mentioned before, like, well, maybe we don't want to see someone in the way of that, you know, at least for this year, for this one season, even though Celtics fans, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear what's the next best thing or who's going to come in here and make this team title contender again. But I just don't think it happens.
That's a good point, Josue. But are those guys,
you know,
is the potential there where if they get the opportunity, they might seize it? It's a question right now. We'll learn a lot in Summer League next week. I think that's the starting point of when, like, all right, does Romeo all of a sudden start to light up this competition? Is Neesmith too good to even be playing in Summer League after the burst he went on late last year? That's going to tell us a lot about where the youth of this team is. But there are certain guys like Carson Edwards. Grant got dangerously close to this point last year, and I think Sherrod and I were texting on the side, like, it's a little telling that he's not in Summer League. Like, you know, maybe he's just not in a position where he doesn't want to, like, have that play out in a bad direction for him. Those are guys I look at and say, all right, I don't know if even extra minutes and opportunity are going to help those guys. But Neesmith, Pritchard, certainly, and Langford still deserves a chance. There's a chance with extra minutes, extra opportunity, a nice full summer league here, that those guys really come in the camp looking good and seize on some opportunity here. Neesmith especially.
Yeah.
The way he looked late in the year, I'm excited about what he could potentially do, maybe even as a starter on this team. Like,
I think Neesmith to me is the key to all this. I think he's that one player that, as we're trying to figure out where the hell are the Celtics going to go from here, is there any path that leads them going in an upward direction? I think Neesmith is the key to that because he's the one guy from that
John
young core
right
that
John,
absolutely
John likes this conversation.
Sorry,
he's got himself on mute.
I don't hate it, but I don't want to pivot immediately to we're excited.
No, it's not about being excited.
Like,
just
be mad about this, guys.
Be appropriately annoyed that the Celtics are in this position. But, and again, I'm not doing the, as I said, this is the only path I've seen for this team, period. Play these freaking guys and see if they're any good. And that's it. That's the only choice. And it's not because, and everyone mistook it all season long for John loves Romeo. I don't. But I don't want a Jeff Green team. I just want either these guys are good.
I'm excited about Jeff Green now.
Look, either
I am not excited about
either
Jeff Green.
Good and you've got something, or they're bad and you can cut bait and stop pretending. That's it. But you've got that your only path to all of a sudden being from mediocre to good is if these guys are good and you're like, holy crap, we got a young core that's affordable to add to the stars. Now I supplement with some veterans and I got space next year. Kaboom, here I come. So this is the only path for this team. Play these guys, see if they're good. And if they suck, then they suck. Then you know you really need a lot of stuff. Okay.
They don't have a choice now.
You can't trade them because they have no value because they haven't impressed anybody yet. And bringing in other veterans on top of them and reducing their playing time does no one any good. So just play them, and that's it. But I'm not excited. It just is your only option. And you know what? If they play well, it will be exciting. If they suck, we're
going to be excited because we know they're not going to be around very much longer.
We're going to cancel. Exciting. We're going to cancel the show. we're going to get 20 games in and then just call it.
The bad part about it, though, especially with the 2019 guys, we're 2 years into it now. Like, we've seen a decent amount of Romeo. We've seen a lot of Grant. We've seen a lot of Edwards.
No,
you don't think we've seen enough of those guys?
Not Romeo.
Now, Grant, right. Yes, I've seen enough of Grant. Romeo, I haven't because he hasn't been healthy enough.
He has not even close to – he doesn't even have close to one full season of service time, and he's never had any lead-up into a season. It's always he started behind.
Hey, don't jinx him.
He looks awesome. He does. He looks good. You know what's going to suck when he's like the sixth best player on the court in Summer League and you're going to be like, you know.
James Young all over again. Damn it.
That's what Yabu got cut.
I was gonna say Yabu. I was just gonna say that. Yeah, well,
Yabu.
He wasn't even number six. He was more like eight or nine.
Yabu was a year three player, year three vet playing in summer league.
Like a day three. played like a day three.
Then he beat Team USA.
And guys, bums off the street rounding off the roster that will never play anywhere were looked better than him. And he was like, yeah, we're gonna cut you now. So that's
right
the
after giving him his team option. They're still paying for him this year.
That was so bad. They're still paying for him.
Oh, Gershon, it's like the Bobby Bonilla of the Celtics, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the Bobby Bonilla of the Celtics, still getting paid for nothing.
So that's where we are. The other thing that I didn't get a chance to get my pound of flesh in, I'm really annoyed about the Mo Brown thing.
Wait for this.
I'm just annoyed. I thought, look,
if the fans agree with
if they took on Richardson for salary alone, that's fine. Sherrod and I went on this little rant, you know, and good, we're dead wrong. But we both said, no way you just throw that guy in for a salary match, okay?
Right.
Just to trim salary. He's valuable. He's not, and again, people conflate. We're not saying he's an all-star or he's going to play ahead of guys, but he's a $1.7 million per year for 4 years, up-and-coming 22-year-old, 7'2", bench big. That's a great commodity at that salary.
He banged you for damn near 20-20 in a half.
Yeah.
Not a game. He damn near had 20-20 on you in a half.
Yeah.
But you know what? I still believe that the deal would not have been done if he wasn't moved.
Right. Because what's in it for Dallas?
I don't think I think that they made him being part of it. We're not giving you Jay Rich unless you get him.
I don't think and so. It sounds to me like they wanted to they wanted to shed some salary, and they wouldn't take much, so they took the smallest salary they could send them, and that ended up being Brown. I think it was straight cost cutting, which I don't get.
I don't get that either, because that's to quote my man Bobby, that's just dumb. I mean, you don't cut a $1.7 million 7'2", 20 some year old who has tremendous upside.
People, I don't get it.
So we got it in our heads that Richardson was free, and he wasn't. They gave up a lower tier player on the roster for an NBA starter. I don't think it's that crazy.
You didn't. You gave up 4 years of an affordable guy during a time that you know you need cap space for a guy you clearly have no intention of re-signing past next year. None, because you're clear in the books. Josh Richardson is his contract, and the fact that he comes in he's going to be Fournier light. Yeah,
John, let me ask you this question. Would you have sent Grant instead of Brown?
I would have.
Okay.
Is that bad? Does that make me a bad person?
No. I guess my point is, I think the Celtics might have done the same thing, which is why I think Dallas said no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to send Bruno.
No, we're just kidding, man. We're just kidding. Never mind.
Right.
Dallas didn't know that.
I'm standing by
it. They're like, wait, you want us to take who? Wait,
yeah.
Wait, Grant and Semi.
Yeah.
No, Grant and Semi don't get deals. Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't see a pathway for Moses to impact this team all that much if things were going right.
It's not an impact. Yeah.
Yeah, but they need a guard. They need a wing. And the TPE date was coming up where they had to use that or lose it.
Right.
And they got a really good player for it. And they gave up at end of the rotation center. At the end of the day, there's an undrafted center. He's a guy who is just non-guaranteed salary. At some point, you might just – hey, if the Mavericks cut him, like, in the next week or so, they need some extra money here, I wouldn't be stunned. Like, he showed promise last year in Oklahoma City where he could play a ton. There were no expectations whatsoever. It was basically a G League setup there. What is he beyond that? We'll see. Maybe John will be 100% right on this one. He's killing in Dallas next year with Luka. That's a pretty good guy for him to team up with.
That would be such a painful pill to swallow.
Yeah,
it is.
If he's just – that would be like, ugh.
Like I said, I don't even need him to kill it. I just think he had value even at what he did last year on this team. Behind
what's the value, though? Because Richardson has value too.
But look, you've got Horford, who you're probably going to try to renounce next year, and you've got Rob Williams, who obviously has health concerns. This was a great – this was an actual need. I'm not interested in, you know, where are you going to play him this year. Like, yeah, I want Rob to get the 25 to 27 minutes. You're telling me this guy wasn't good for, you know, 17, 18, 19 minutes coming in at 7'2",
no,
grabbing
there.
Boards. Horford's there for as a stopgap. Again, Mo Brown, when you, Bobby, look, if you have expensive things. You need cheap things, you know, like that's, these guys are, have value for that thing. When you, if you go spend your money and you're going to be a three-star team, you sure as shit need $2 million Mo Browns on your roster.
I get where you're coming from here.
You know, that's the thing.
This is where I'm in kind of a different spot still. And like, we got to kind of figure out what is the direction of this team. Are they still on the Beal plan? Well, is that still the thing? Because if that's the plan, I get why you want Brown in there for that.
That's why. It's not because I'm like, oh my God, they gave up this. They gave up friggin' Wilt.
Or even if it's not, you know, even if it's not Bradley Beal, you know, any other free agent next summer, just to sort of, you know, save that space, but also have that guy who's under well under like $5-3 million, you know?
Yeah.
And you just could have a guy that you can develop. That can actually has some physical, tangible skills that might be able to help you win at a high level. Because yeah, he's definitely not in the mix as far as playing time now. But do you think if he were here for maybe another 2 years, he might not be rotation ish player? Because I mean, remember this dude did drop. I mean, and I hate to harp on that one game, but when you look at his season numbers were pretty damn good as well. It wasn't like he had that one game and just fell off the face of the earth. This guy was average, put up number damn near double double type numbers. And to have a guy that young making that kind of money, I understand why Dallas would have made it a priority to get him back in the deal. I understand that, but if this were just a salary dump, why they included him? That's dumb.
That's what kills me. If it's if it was a straight salary dump, that's a bit of a bummer. Because again,
especially if you're not doing it, because
there's no next move, right?
Right.
So let's see what happens with that Tristan trade. It's still really weird that that's up in the air. I don't know why it would be.
Well, you seem to think it was small. It was small bookkeeping. You're moving another thing or two, but.
Just to open a roster spot, I guess. Or maybe you just hold and say, all right, if there's something out there we can actually get, we'll make a move to get that roster spot open. If there isn't, then we'll just take Dunn and Bruno, which is when the roster starts looking a little shaky.
Let's get into Tristan in a minute. People are asking for more updates, so we'll give you what we've got. Chris Paul, agreement with the Suns, 4 years, 120. That'll take him up to his age 40. You know, he's going to be 40 when that contract is over.
What a heist.
Wow.
You know,
they
thought the last contract was crazy.
Like one
I know. Lowry, looking at 3 years, sign and trade the Heat, still working. The details has not been done.
Yeah.
It was never happening. I don't know why you just, why? Yeah. Why it's do you do that to yourself?
I wanted to happen. I know.
Fair enough. Duncan Robinson also back, 5-90. That's some good money here.
Damn, Duncan.
You know? That's big.
Not hitting the Heat.
How come everybody else has money? That's crazy because you're talking about like, look, you know,
the Heat are allowed to tamper too.
This is what you want Nesmith to be when he grows up. You know, like that's not bad, right?
$18 million for Duncan Robinson. So if I'm Fournier, I'm like, wait a minute, time the hell out. Yeah. Duncan got 18. And y'all want me to do what?
Give me.
This isn't 2020, you know, summer 2020 when he just came off of that run. No, this is.
Yeah, I mean, Duncan is a way better shooter. I get that. But if you talk about the whole basketball player, Evan Fournier, easily better than Duncan Robinson.
See, what does that tell you, though, guys? Not a whole lot of those kind of shooters out there, right?
Shooting. People want shooting.
The ones that we're talking about, the Celtics need so badly, there's not a whole lot of them out there. Or at least some of them are aging at this point.
Damn. 18 mil a year for Duncan Robinson. Damn.
He is a special shooter. I mean, you go toe-to-toe with Curry's efficiency the way he did that first big year that he had with like 400, 500 three-point attempts. That was some all-time special shooting that he put on display here. And they're going to need spacing with this group. Lowry's an all-right three-point shooter. Jimmy can't hit him. Bam can't hit him. You have other guys there who are shaky shooters. It's going to be very important that him and Hero space the four on that team. Are they a threat in the East here? I mean, they certainly look better than the Celtics right now. I don't know if they're up on that Milwaukee Nets echelon, but it's very clear here that they're hoping Lowry does that Chris Paul thing for them, which is what I want Lowry to do for the Celtics, but wasn't happening.
No.
I don't know. Josue's shit's blowing up right now.
You heard that right? I mean,
yeah, no, it's fine. Let's get into this real quick. You know, this so if you want to add to the, you know, gloom and doom, you know, the one good thing that we thought happened over the last couple of days is Tristan Thompson was traded, and even that didn't happen. You can't even. I wake up and Tristan Thompson is still in my life. I can't shake this guy.
This is great. He's still on the Celtics side of the banner here.
Oh my God! Oh, come on, right? Exactly. Move him over. He's still. I don't like. Move him over. You know, he's still here, man.
The Kings fans are going, whew.
Yeah.
They kept Raquan Holmes.
Can we still get out of this?
Yeah.
They kept Raquan Holmes. Maybe they don't want him anymore. I don't know. But that, yeah, that would be bad news. All of a sudden, there's your starting center again. John's head would explode.
Again, I'm sure some people would be happy, but I will friggin' retire.
How do you feel about Chris Dunn?
Are Chris Dunn and Bruno going to help you that much? Would it be the worst thing in the world? I don't know.
Don't ever say that again. Bruno. Is Bruno going to help you?
Yeah, Bobby. You know, enough of nothing. I know, you know, the whole we just had a conversation about, you know, Moses Brown and all that. But, man, on the chat, you were making it sound like, you know, Bruno Fernando, Moses Brown, same thing. Like, I don't know.
I don't know enough about Bruno. I saw him play in college, but that's a different game.
Yeah, but you think that was like a comp, like, you know, like to compare those two? Like,
I just threw the per 36 numbers out there. I don't know. Like, he obviously didn't get the opportunity that Moses did. The per 36 numbers were pretty good in Atlanta. But again, he was barely playing. So maybe he is better than Moses Brown. I've seen some people say that.
But this is what bugs me. And again, it's why do we do this? Why do we do this all the time? When a Celtics acquire a guy...
I didn't do it.
Okay, the Celtics acquired a guy, and some of the spin in Celtics land was, this is essentially just as good as the 16th overall pick, you know? If you got Mo Brown at 16, that's a win. You'd be happy. And everyone's like, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's good. And then you just friggin' toss him away, and everyone's like, he sucks, and he wasn't going to play, and Bruno Fernando is better. So, I honestly don't know which one.
I don't know which one is... People...
I don't know which
like
one is true. Just somebody, which I don't know which one is true, but it can't be both, right?
I bet it's 50-50. There's a lot of people mad Mo's gone. There's a lot of people like me who are just like, whatever. It is what it is. So I think there's a fair mix on that front.
All right, if Robert Williams goes down, if, knock on wood, Celtics fans, don't come at me, but we'll remember this.
There'll be a number 42 on the court.
Good insurance policy. I don't know.
No, you are dealing with a 34-year-old in Horford, right? 34, 36, something like that. And then you have a injury-prone Rob. So there is a need for that third-string center, which is why I tweeted out,
right,
get ready for some Grant Williams center minutes on this team. It's inevitable.
You're trying to hurt me, right?
Sure, I'm about to check out.
That's where we're really going to see what Grant's made.
You think that was my connection?
Sherrod, let me ask you this. Come back when you can. When you're ready. Sherrod, let me ask you this. You're Tatum and Brown right now. What are you thinking?
What the f*** is going on?
Did you see Tatum at USA the other day? They asked him about the moves.
In Brad and, We Trust.
Yeah, it was like, they got to figure that out.
I got nothing to do with that. I'm just trying to get a
not my job.
That's what Tatum's telling Jalen. Don't worry. My guy's coming next year. Don't worry.
I hope.
Jalen's like, I hope so because, yo, this season coming
I don't know how to feel about that. So we were pretty convinced that that's where they were going a couple weeks ago. Then all this Washington stuff happens and Beal doesn't even whisper a trade demand and – it's like, is he locked in there? Is he just going to wait and see? You don't have any clue.
I don't understand why people expect Bradley Beal to do that. I mean, he's shown a ridiculous level of loyalty to Washington. It reminds me of how Kevin Garnett was when he was in Minnesota. Because Kevin knew well before he got moved that he needed to get his ass out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
But he didn't make trade demands. He didn't verbalize that he needs to be out of there the way some people anticipate Beal will do, because we've seen James Harden do that.
That would be better. That would be better for Washington than going the the door next year.
I think Beal genuinely believes that there is a chance that the Wizards can actually put something together that can be some semblance of a competitive basketball team. I think he's wrong. I think he's wrong as hell. I don't think it's ever going to happen. But again, he, I believe, thinks that to be true. And if you're Tatum, you're just saying, look, You keep thinking that, but just know that we here in Boston. If you want to roll with us next year, we here. And I think that's kind of how Tatum is selling that, because he knows Bradley Beal well enough to know that you can't make a hard pitch for him to ask for a trade now, because he's not built like that. He's got what I would call irrational loyalty to that organization. He should not be nearly as loyal as he is to them, knowing that more likely than not, he's going to have to be moved on if he really sincerely wants to win a championship. But he still has these dreams and desire to have his jersey raised up there, which I think whether he stayed or left, that would still happen. But he wants to win at a high level there. And I get that. But at the same time, you gotta read the tea leaves, bro. The crumbs are all up and down the path, and that path is back to the lottery. And if you want to get on a different path, then you pack your bag up and you get ready to bounce.
The Celtics are like, I'll race you to the lottery. You know?
Exactly. On your march, get set.
Get set lottery. Let's see who can get there first.
I don't think it's a matter of he believes in what the
lotto.
I just think he's an old soul. He's sort of – Bradley Beal strikes me that type of person. He's not going to demand a trade. He's going to say, look, I signed this amount of years, so I'm sticking – you know, I'm gonna stick around. I don't see him as somebody who's going to demand a trade. Maybe he's not, you know, overly excited about the team that he's on, but he's like, look, I'm still a great player in this league, and I can still get this team. You know, if whatever they're telling me right now, if that's what they want to do going into this year – let's do it. I'm all in. At least at the end of the day, I can say I put everything, all my effort forward. You know, put, when it comes to going into this regular season, it wasn't no question of, oh, I had one foot out the door. No. I gave you guys my all this last year. And when I'm a free agent, I'm going to make that decision, you know? And I think that's
fair. Damn, Jeff Green is gone.
He's that kind of
guy. I know. I was just getting the graphic ready. I was going to give everybody a little breaking news. Jeff Green gone.
He's sticking around?
Gone. Denver.
Mile high, baby.
Oh man.
Where do you see them?
Wait, is it two years, $10 million total?
Yeah. That's what I believe that is.
That the Celtics were priced out of Jeff Green at 2 years, $10 million total.
No, if you're Jeff Green, you want to come back to Boston?
You know what that means, John. They don't want to pay the tax, period.
Zero. Zero. They're spending zero.
They
no tax.
$700,000 below the tax.
That's it. Zero.
So they're not going to get Mills.
Nope.
What a disaster. Nope. It's the money. We knew it was the money.
Xanis, your silence is so powerful, my friend.
We always knew it was the money with this team.
Oh my god,
what a joke.
We're laughing for not crying. That's why we're laughing.
I know. I'm like part crying, also like it hurts me to see Bobby.
You
like
can't
this
pay a couple million in tax. Brooklyn's paying like
poor Bobby, like Christmas is canceled, Bobby, like this.
Golden State and Brooklyn are paying like three team salaries worth of tax, and the Celtics can't pay a couple million.
I've never understood it. I don't get it.
Oh, what a terrible.
The thinking, I think, for them, and you can probably understand this, is that if we're not competing for a championship, why should I pay tax?
But it's not that much.
That's not the point. It's well, my the money. Point is, so I don't want to pay it. I'm playing devil's advocate here. So this is
my thing with this setup for this season ahead. I think it's dangerous to throw away a season per se, which may not be the case here if they can get some growth and stuff like that. But you can't have what happened last year happen again, and it's going to be an even worse version this year where you just have so little talent, so little shooting around the Jays, so little depth, that it's just going to be like a grind every single night. Brown and Tatum have to defend the best players. They're trying to make plays, and they can't get anything out of it. Then all of a sudden the noise starts in their ears that they're to blame about things. And like, it's just a terrible setup. And that's going to be your bridge to signing a max free agent and wooing them to come here. Like, you have to have some success. Remember the bridge year to Durant and Horford? You had a pretty good year. I think you were the 4 seed. You really showed some great progress throughout the year, fought hard, had a ton of hustle. You weren't the best team in the world, but it was a good bridge team. You showed some upward trajectory that I think Horford saw in the Atlanta series and was impressed by. You tell me you're going to go 500 again and be a shaky play-in team that's up and down all year, and Beal's going to be like, that's the spot for me.
Well, I think the difference is that he would be joining forces with Tatum, and he trusts Tatum. He's seen firsthand from literally from day one how Tatum has grown and evolved. And so I don't think the record will necessarily bother him that much, especially when he looks at the fact that the Celtics weren't exactly going for the gusto this upcoming season. So I think all that will come into play. And remember, the wild card in all this is what happens in Washington. Like, are they going to have one of those 17 and 50 and 57 seasons, winning 17, 18 games? Depending on how successful they are, I think that will be a factor in whether Beal wants to bounce or not. Again, the Celtics, you're right, Bobby. I mean, this season upcoming is going to have a very – they just ran it back.
Yep.
And the end result is going to be similar to what we just saw, 500-ish basketball.
Is it possible Brad in his first year was just too honest and didn't realize that you actually can call people prior to 6 o'clock? You know?
but let's be honest, though. Would that be a surprise to anyone that Brad Murphy literally
– I got Murphy. I'm about to put that up there, too. Yo, give me a second.
Yep. Mark's out of here, guys. Mark's out.
Yeah. I'm going to put that up here. 1 second. So Mark Murphy here – Boston Herald, and hold on, let me grab the report here so I can quote it accurately. But he was the one talking about Smart, how he's likely sticking around because, now that the Lonzo thing fell through, and again, sorry guys, just froze up here. So now what he's saying about Marcus is he's looking for max extension.
Money.
Real money, Fournier money, 4 years, $80 million, which is the money they won't pay Fournier. So you've got a situation here, and Bobby's talked about this a bit. Okay, look, let's put all the pieces together. Different stories about Smart. He's either too tight with Brad, or he pisses everybody off. Whatever it is, something's up. Okay, doesn't fit. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. There's a thing. There's a cloud around Smart. His name's been floated a bunch. He can't like that too much. He's going into a lame duck year. He's not going to like that too much. They're not willing to commit money past anybody beyond this year. So he knows this going in. So now he's going to walk into this situation and be asked to be a good soldier and lay it all on the line, in a walk year, for what? Why do this? I got to get mine. Hey, Marcus, don't shoot 11 threes. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Sure, I won't. Like, this is not a terrific recipe here. I think you've got to look. You got to put a product on the court, and that's important. But if you know you're not going to re-sign Smart, you should trade Smart. Like, what are you doing here?
Even
at this point?
If you get Beal, it's a terrible move to just let him go. Like, this would be the umpteenth guy in a row that you just get absolutely nothing for.
Yeah, but
you'll feel a little better about it if you get Beal in here, but. Again, this is overdue. This should have been done at last trade deadline. This should have been done maybe.
And that's what
I hate.
You have to look. You got to be smart enough to know. You got to take some risks in the sense that, I don't know what I'm going to do with Marcus, but I don't think he's in our plans. So let's just move on. You can't be paralyzed and just stay there and look for the perfect thing. And again, I don't know how much of this was Danny. The previous report said Danny valued him like an all-star. If you could have gotten something from Marcus last deadline, you probably should have done it if you have no intention of re-signing him this year, because now it gets harder. So I don't know what they're doing in regards to this guy. Like, Sherrod, do they like him as an organization? I don't really know. Like, I really don't know.
They love his toughness. They love the fact that he plays his ass off at one end of the floor as hard as anyone around. But the bottom line is this. If he wants $20 million, which I don't think he can get now, I don't think he'll be able to get next year. What the Celtics are ultimately going to wind up having happen, and you can see it coming a mile away, they're going to get another TPE for Marcus, just like they got for Gordon, and then you're going to hope that you can land some disgruntled player or someone who falls out of favor with a team down the road, as opposed to actually going out and convincing a player that you have a situation that is to their benefit. And to me, the TPE, it's a nice alternative when you can't do a straight-on trade for a guy. But I'm at the point, and I think most people are at the point, where you want to get players. You're sick and tired of getting these TPEs, these like little, balance sheet bulletin points that can help you when you can't trade a guy straight up. And Marcus is a guy that, again, we don't know what the market is officially looks like for Marcus, but damn, they need to do a better job of convincing folks to take him if you're serious about getting something in return from beyond a TPE.
Okay.
I'm tired of the TPEs.
The way I see it, guys, I think this is Marcus' way of saying, I'm out of here. I want out. Like, what when a player puts their price up that high, knowing the situation this, and how things are for the Celtics right now, I think that's his way of saying that. Look, if you don't see me as a future player, then I'm out of here. I'm not going to stay around for another year. So you guys can just, you know, wait until you're able to afford someone like Bradley Beal and say, see you later, or trade me to wherever whoever you feel like trading me to. No, I'm going to be able to pick my destiny here. And, you know, if you don't want to re-sign me, then just do a sign and trade. Let's figure this thing out. You know, that's the way I'm reading
this thing now. Not for nothing, but the last time through, Smart did the same thing. Smart bet on himself heavy, and he lost.
Well, this is the weirdest part of the bridge, you know, here, right? This guy is going to be such a big part of next year's team.
But the last time through, Smart thought he was going to get closer to 16, 18, whatever per, and he didn't. You know, like, he bet on himself and he missed.
He was restricted back then.
But nobody came looking for that. Nobody came throwing money his way. It just wasn't there.
It's different when you're unrestricted, though. And they just announced today that there's going to be
the two all NBA defensive teams.
Yeah, Yuki got better after that, and the Caps bumping $4 million more than they expected next year, which will obviously help him as well.
Yeah. So this isn't going to surprise anybody here. This is Keith Smith, but this is what we've been saying. Celtics focused on keeping their cap sheet
the Celtics
as clean as possible for 22 free agency. This is, again, not surprising, but this is where we're at. So, okay, ready? So my new developing opinion, everything we just talked about, I'm going back to where I was before, all the way around.
Might as well, right?
No, all the way around, full circle. There is no – okay. There is no way you can do what the Celtics are doing now unless you are ridiculously, supremely, insanely confident that something is coming to you in 22. Because it doesn't make sense to just risk – alienating your two stars, putting a real crap product, pissing off your fan base, and going out there and floundering for a year without a clear plan. So you guys were saying Beal is just one of those old, but you're saying Beal's one of those old soul sort of guys, and he's happy there, and he's got loyalty. Okay, Beal, the agreement they've got right now is, I'm going to pretend everything is great in DC so they don't trade me, and I'm going to make it sound like I want to stay here, and then, wha-bam, I'm coming to you. And that's
okay.
It.
Okay.
Verbatim. What he said,
that's
verbatim.
Wha-bam.
Wha-bam.
That's it. That's all I can think.
Get the wha-bam cam.
Listen.
Let's get the wha-bam cam.
Listen, in the meantime, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're going to put on the big boy pants for real this time, right? Yeah. Ime Udoka is going to build this thing, this culture, from scratch. You know, the San Antonio Spurs, I mean, come on.
It's
coming from the school of Popovich, man. This thing is gradual. The San Antonio Spurs, they don't do the quick fix. They don't trade for the superstar quick fix. No, they build this thing up from the bottom.
Because the Spurs never break down.
They build this up from the bottom. That's true. That's true, Sherrod. But they still build this thing from the bottom. Okay.
Other teams have to like change the damn engine. But the Spurs, all they do is get a damn oil change and they keep moving. They keep moving.
That is an incredible signing.
Hey, Mr. Fix is here. You know.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at, right? To him.
It's crazy where the Spurs are.
It's Beal with the long con, and that's what I'm going.
I'm not gonna lie. That's pretty damn impressive if they can pull that off. That's pretty damn impressive.
It's the long con. Do not get caught whispering in the hallway during the All-Star break. Don't do it. Don't be dumb about it. Just, I love Washington. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then.
And when you see each other, you give each other a pound and make sure when you're talking, cover your mouths. Cover your mouths so no one can see what you're saying. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's it.
Pull
out the
Kyrie playbook. Yeah.
No, don't even switch jerseys. Don't do it. No, I want daps or anything. I want them to be competitive. I'd be like, look, this is the last time we're going to play.
No, see, they can't do that because would not be on brand. They got to keep doing the buddy-buddy thing. That's on brand.
Right. Make it look good. You know what's going to happen here?
Bring in Jaylen Brown, too.
If we stay on the air long enough, the Celtics are going to bring back Semi, and I'm going to lose my freaking mind.
I love Semi. That's my guy.
Hey,
that's my guy.
The NBA Finals MVP, Giannis, you know, He still has that on his resume.
Stop it.
Come on. Shimmy's got that on his resume. It's way down there, but it's on his resume.
Shimmy had like basically two or three really good games against Giannis, and then Giannis was like, wait, who? Oh, okay. He's pretty much kicked Shimmy's ass for like the last 3-4 years.
Was it a playoff game?
I say the last couple years.
The playoff game, though. Playoff game.
MVP. Championship. Shimmy, right. What you got?
Right. But I'm with you, John. Yeah, you should be upset if that happens.
Don't be bringing those 7 and 8 of space to the space game when Giannis is holding like kings and queens. Come on now.
Bobby Portis, 2 years, $9 million with the Bucks. Again, you're not even giving out $5 million to people.
Yeah, but come on, Bobby Portis. Though I mean,
I'm just saying it's very clear. That it's very clear at this point they're not giving a freaking dollar to anybody.
Not even IT, I guess. Jeez.
Oh, jeez. Furkan Korkmaz, you see what he's
$3 million, $5 million per. Again, so we're down into the
He shoots. A shooter. There you go.
Gary Trent. Way to open a money bag. Damn. I know,
They're desperate.
So he's basically filling that Norm Powell spot pretty much with that.
Yeah, Bobby's deep in an article right now.
Yeah, Bobby's there been frozen.
There's a lot going on. Like, you got to figure out that Thompson thing. You got to figure out who these bottom of the roster spot guys are, because there aren't a lot of them left, as we see now. How they put together next year's team has to be pretty intentional and.
I'm excited about next year's team, because usually you have a sense of how the thing is going to come together, how the team is going to look. We have no idea how this team is going to look. Because, I mean, on the one hand, you see a lot of young, unproven players, and that makes you think, oh, crap, this is going to be a rebuilding year. But then you realize you got Tatum, you got Brown. You don't know how much juice Al has in the tank. If Time Lord can stay healthy, there's no telling how that's going to be a game changer. And if one or two of those young guys in the rookie deals actually steps up and have a career year, you may very well be in a better place than you were this past season, even though I don't think that right now, but it's possible. We have no idea what the hell the 21-22 Celtics are going to look like, and I'm kind of excited about that.
So, again, I don't mind it, Bob. I don't mind it, Sherrod, because we've seen the other thing. You want to see this thing. So that, like I said, I want to see what the other guys have. You can't have a year in which Tatum and Brown are just like shrugging their shoulders, looking around like, is anybody going to help me? That's my only fear. It's not, can I live through a year? Like, those are fun years.
Scrappy teams.
Those scrappy teams are fun. They're not fun when you got two max player superstars in your team who are like, I don't want to do this. You know, like, that's not fun.
Yeah, it's different when you have, like, you know, Evan Turner, Chris Humphrey.
Different. Isaiah Thomas, Crowder, Isaiah.
Jay Crowder, Marcus Thornton. But two all-stars, both under the age of 25.
Yeah. Couple other updates. Gary Trent Jr., as we said, 3 years, 54 to the Raptors. Bobby Portis, as we said, 2 years, $9 million to the Bucks. I will let everybody know we're going to do a little bit of the green room thing. I don't expect everybody in here to join, but we're going to jump on. This is obviously the kind of thing people want to have their voice heard, so we do want to hear from you guys. It's been a little while, so we will do it. If you
this
haven't,
could be one of those Thunder-like nights. Remember that Thunder game?
Yeah. If you haven't done it already, download the app, available in your iOS store, available on Android as well. It's Spotify. So Spotify Green Room, go get it and jump on with us, and we'll chat a little bit of draft. We'll open up the room, and we'll probably hop out of here in a little bit. If there's breaking news, we'll talk about it. Otherwise, we'll just get your thoughts on the direction of the franchise. I will say the caveat, we're in a little gloom and doom because we've concluded in the first 90 minutes of free agency that they're putting their hands in their pockets, and that's that. And we kind of thought that was going to happen, and we said we're going to, you know, we'll know early what they're doing, but Fournier's still out there. Dinwiddie's still out there. DeRozan is still out there. Could this be late scraps that they pick up on short deals, on deals that make sense? I don't know. Maybe they've been working on something. You'd feel a lot better if something big like that comes through. I'm not saying it will, but obviously the entire tone and tenor of, like, the direction that we've taken this conversation would change. which again, you know, is something that could theoretically happen. Right now, Sherrod, Josue, would you predict anything beyond, as we'd heard from Murphy and others, around the margins, anything else happens here?
No, not. I don't think anything will happen of significance tonight. I mean, the guy, and we touched on him a little bit, and I think a couple folks in the chat have mentioned him as well, is Reggie Jackson. No feel for what his market will be, but certainly that's a guy that is some of the best basketball of his career we saw in the playoffs. And so that will be a guy that certainly, you know, Celtics fans would feel better about next season if you have a guy like Reggie Jackson in the fold. But damn, the pickers are getting ridiculously slim. I mean, that Jeff Green to Denver one, that's the one that just, I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, they got him for like lint money in Denver. I mean, that's.
You can't
that,
be.
That one hurt me. That's the one that I'm really hurt by. And this has nothing to do with how great a player Jeff Green is and everything to do with the fact that they literally got him for.
Well, I guess on the dollar. The only other way you could look at that is that you can only spend $5 million on one player. And if you were going to spend it on Mills or Green, you'd probably go Mills in that case. So that's the only way that one could shake
out. As Tito would say, Millsy.
Yeah. So that's the way that one could shake out.
Give me Millsy. Give me Millsy. Go ahead.
I just don't. Yeah. The path's just shaky right now. Like, I'm not sure which way it's
Bobby
going.
Is shaken.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the tweet Bobby sent us on the group chat right before we started? Like 2 minutes prior to the show, Bobby goes, I am nervous.
Yeah.
He knew it. He's like, bad stuff's going to happen, isn't it, John? I was like, I think so.
No, I had a sense that Ball probably wasn't in the cards, and then who knew where it was going to go from there. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a lot to be shaken out in this team right now, and we're just waiting. Fournier, that's a big one. The Thompson thing, like, it's not, you can't look at this right now and say like, oh, this is done. Uh-oh. Like, there's still a lot that has to happen here on the edges of this roster. So we'll see where that goes. It's just they're not involved in a lot of these free agents that have gone already. McConnell, Green, these certain guys that you think they could have been in on, even Olynyk at the very beginning of this thing. So
Kelly got paid too.
I don't think it's going to happen for via free agency, guys. I'm starting to.
They need that Mills one.
After this, hour and a half into the, you know, what's going on here, I think Marcus Smart will get traded, guys. I think this is the
today?
Not today, but I think that's how eventually Celtics get their new point guard.
And it might be the case, but you know, we have what we have right now. We have opened up the room, so if you guys want to jump in there, I think we'll just all go together. So no reason to you know, linger on here. You know, so again, just to let everybody know, we're gonna hop on Green Room, talk for a little bit. Whoever wants to join, great. Sure. We want to hear from you guys for sure. If something happens. We're on the clock, and at least Bobby and I are, whoever else is available. Something big goes down, we'll jump back on here and we'll do another show. So Smart gets traded later tonight, we'll jump on. News tomorrow, we'll jump on. Our goal is to bring it to you as quickly as possible if there is news, you know, and chop it up with you guys. So there are still things that could happen. We're not going to jump on there for the semi re-signing, but we will if Smart gets traded or they bring in a big name or something dramatic happens. But until then, we'll jump on here on Green Room and chat with you guys. Guys, anything else here before we wrap it?
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right, guys. Like I said, it's in the chat. Amit, did you throw it in there? You guys see the link in there? Yep, it's in there. Special thanks always to our producer, Amit Bhattacharjee, who is a freaking, I mean, he can put together graphics faster than I can speak them. And he just
proved it. He proved throughout the last hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah, he's just rifling through this, but he's had us prepped all day long. He's an absolute workhorse and an animal here. You know, when he's not, he's probably, while this was going on, he probably edited three different Patriots videos from Evan Lazar over at training camp. And I'm not kidding. Hey, so
what up, Evan?
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys should check that out, too. We have terrific training camp coverage over on our Patriots YouTube channel. So we're going to head over again. Thanks, Amit. Thanks, you guys, for watching this. Come join us on Green Room, and we'll hear from you there. Thanks, all.